Hey there, and welcome to Soul Church. Our prayer is that this message encourages you wherever you may be in life. We've been hearing so many stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and we'd love to hear yours. So take a second and send your story to stories@soulchurch.com. Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy the message. God bless.
Well, we are so honored today to have Canon J. John and his beautiful wife, Kelly, with us. And in just a moment, we're going to stand and welcome them. But there are a lot of platforms that J. John could be standing on today all over the world. And we are, J. John, we are so privileged that you would be here in Norwich, Norfolk. He wrote in fact, it was Good Friday, in the Times newspaper, over 1 million people read that article. And God is using both of this couple in such a mighty way. And we want to say thank you. Thank you for being our friends. Thank you for being family. Thank you for being our biggest cheerleaders. Thank you for coming to Soul Church when you didn't know what Soul Church was. But I think we should stand and give Canon J. John a huge, warm Norfolk welcome this morning.
John, please be seated. And you guys, honestly, Chantel, the musicians, the dancers, you're amazing. Have a little tea break. Let's thank the Lord. Thank them. Oh, well, wow. It is afternoon. Good afternoon. Wasn't that amazing?
Amazing.
Absolutely amazing. Yeah. Now, I'm Greek, so now you can say you know a little Greek. Greek Christians all over the world on Easter Day, they have a greeting whenever they meet another Greek Christian. And the greeting goes like this, Christos Anesti. Which means Christ is risen. Okay? Christos Anesti. Repeat.
Christos Anesti.
Now, you need a little bit more, you know? Christos Anesti.
Christos Anesti.
Very good. So every time you meet a Greek Christian, you say Christos Anesti, and they reply, Alithos Anesti, which means he is risen indeed. Okay, so you meet me, you say to me,
Alithos Anesti.
Now you know some Greek words. Right, Killy's going to read from the Bible.
Great, I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it then, and you still stand firm in it. It is this good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message I told you, unless, of course, you believed something that was never true in the first place. I passed on to you what was most important, and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scriptures said. He was buried, and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said. He was seen by Peter, and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he was seen by James and later by all the apostles. Last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw him, for I am the least of all the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle, after the way I persecuted God's church.
Great. Thank you, Killy. I'm going to tell you why I am a Christian and why you should be a Christian. Whether you're here in this beautiful, brand new church complex, Soul Church, or whether you're tuned in online, I'm going to explain why I'm a Christian and why you should be a Christian. Now, when I conclude, for those of you that are here in the church auditorium, I'm going to give you the opportunity, if you would like to become a follower of Jesus, or you would like to return to follow Jesus, I'm going to ask you to get up out of your seat, out of the rows, and I'm going to ask you to come and stand here at the front. The reason I'm telling you that now is so that in 30 minutes' time, when I tell you to do that, you're not surprised. Okay? So you can sit back, chill out. Those of you that are online, you're probably either cooking the lunch or you're doing something else and you're watching the service, and I'm going to include you. So maybe those of you that are standing up online, I'm going to ask you to sit down. I'll give you something to do to make it visible that you're making this decision. Okay, let me give you some reasons why I am a Christian. Reason number one. Because Christianity is true. In fact, that is a pretty good reason. Christianity is true. The problem is, many people today, their understanding of Christianity is a misunderstanding. When the first Russian astronaut returned from space, first interview, first question, did you see God? He said, no, I did not. The Soviet Union heralded this as proof that God did not exist. When the first American astronaut returned from space, first interview, fourth question, did you see God? He said, I would have seen God had I stepped out of my spacesuit. Pretty clever. That was pretty clever. But can you see how the Russian and the American had two different understandings of the word God? A little boy said to his mummy, Mummy, is God in the house? And the mother thought, yes, he is. The little boy goes, Mummy, if God's in the house, is he in the kitchen? So she thought, if he's in the house, he's got to be in the kitchen. Yes, he is. The little boy goes, Mummy, if God's in the house and he's in the kitchen, you know the marmalade jar without the marmalade, the top on it, is he in the marmalade jar? Well, what do you reckon? Go on. What do you reckon? What, you think he's in the marmalade jar? Okay, so when the kettle's boiling, God's in there having a sauna. No, it's just good to know what you believe. So the mother thought, well, he's in the house, he's in the kitchen. Yes, he is in the marmalade jar. And the little boy went, I've got him. Lots of people want to say, this is God, this is God. God is unboxable. You cannot box God in. You know, today, many people today ask the wrong questions. And if you ask the wrong questions, you can never get the right answers. The right question to ask is, has God spoken? Has God revealed himself? In fact, the Bible says, yes, God has revealed himself. How? Well, if you read a book called Romans in the Bible, you'll read there that God revealed himself in creation. Oh, and it says the whole of creation is trying to get our attention. But people go, oh, yeah, I love the oceans. I love the mountains. Oh, I love the forests. But they're not interested in the Creator. But actually, the whole of creation is there to show you the artistry of God. He's an incredible artist. And he's saying, do you want to meet the artist? Do you want to meet the artist? And people are going, well, no, I like the art, but I'm not sure about the artist. God has revealed himself many, many times throughout history. Now, take the Bible. The Bible's got 800,000 words in it. It's got two testaments, old and new. The Old Testament begins with a book called Genesis. It ends with a book called Malachi. The New Testament begins with a book called Matthew, ends with a book called Revelation. Last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, and the first book of the New Testament, Matthew, there's 500 years of history. When God does not communicate, nothing is written down. In the Old Testament of the Bible, there are what are called messianic prophecies about the arrival of the King of Heaven on earth. There are 322. They tell you where he's going to be born, how he's going to be born, how he's going to grow up, what he's going to say, how he's going to say it. You've even got one of the prophecies of the 322 tell you how many coins would be used to betray him. Do you know what the mathematical compound probability is of 322 prophecies being fulfilled in one man at one moment in time? 1/84 with 100 zeros. In other words, it doesn't happen every day. This is a rare occurrence. Yeah, and yet people go around, oh, you prove to me God. You prove to me God. Listen, even that statement is not right. Why is it not right? Because it shows a confusion of three types of knowledge. We have three types of knowledge today. Mathematical knowledge, 1 + 1 = 2. That's called rational, logical knowledge. You then have scientific knowledge, where you have a hypothesis, you carry out an experiment to see if your hypothesis is true or false. Then you have personal knowledge. Each of those knowledge is equally valid. What a lot of people do is that they take what is personal and they try and define it mathematically or scientifically. Let me illustrate that for you. Let's take something like a kiss. Would you agree with me that a kiss is personal? Yeah. Yeah. Now, look, if you've not had one, I'm really sure Soul Church can arrange it. Maybe a chocolate and a kiss, okay? Now, for those of us who've had one, it's personal. Can you define a kiss mathematically? No. Can you define a kiss scientifically? Yes. Here is a definition of a kiss scientifically. It is the approach of two pairs of lips with a reciprocal transmission of microbes and carbon dioxide. Now, you're in a little romantic setting. You're trying to cultivate romance, and then you say to your partner, let us draw our lips together and let us exchange microbes and carbon dioxide. It's not gonna do it. It won't do it. If you take something that is personal and you try and define it mathematically or scientifically, it won't work. God is personal. You do not prove God, you experience God. And why did we have 30 minutes of worship? Because we are experiencing God. As we proclaim who he is, we are experiencing God. God has revealed himself through creation, throughout history, but his greatest revelation of himself was in Jesus. And Jesus died on a cross. And then what? In the 18th century, there was a man called Gilbert West. He was really annoyed that all his friends were becoming Christians. He lived in London. He decided that he's going to shatter Christianity. That's what I'm going to do. Shatter Christianity and make a name for myself. That's what he said. So he decided to write a book. The only way you can disprove Christianity is to disprove the resurrection. Because if the resurrection didn't take place, then there's absolutely no Christianity. Okay? So he starts researching, he starts writing his book. Halfway through writing his book, he meets Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, and then he writes his book the other way round. I have one of the original copies from the 18th century. And right in the beginning, it says, here, the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That was in the 18th century. In the 19th century, there was a very famous atheist called Ingersoll in America. And he didn't like it that many people were becoming Christians. He had a very famous friend called Lew Wallace, who was a general in the American army, very famous. He said to his friend Lew, you got to help me put a stop to Christianity. Why don't you write a book to disprove the resurrection? So he starts writing the book. Lew Wallace has got a wife who's a Christian. She's praying. Lew Wallace gets to chapter 4. He meets the resurrected Jesus. He wrote his book the other way around, and his book is called Ben-Hur. I know, you didn't know that. Right, in the 20th century, there was a lawyer and a journalist called Frank Morrison. And he decided to smash Christianity. He's going to write a book to disprove the resurrection. He's a journalist, so he knows how to research really well. But he's also a lawyer. He knows how to fiddle the information. That was a joke. Halfway through writing the book, he meets the resurrected Jesus. He wrote his book the other way around. His book is called Who Moved the Stone? A man in America who's a journalist called Lee Strobel, he's actually a friend of mine. He's a journalist. He was a journalist. His wife became a Christian. He got very upset that his wife became a Christian. He thought, I'm gonna show her that she's wrong, and I'm gonna disprove Christianity to her. He starts trying to disprove the resurrection. Halfway through his research, he meets the resurrected Jesus, and he wrote his book, The Case for Christ. If you want to meet Jesus, try and write a book disproving the resurrection. You see, the point of this is when you take the evidence seriously, you meet Jesus. You meet Jesus. You meet Jesus. You meet Jesus. Now, people go, yes, but what about other philosophies? What about other ideologies? What about them? If you're walking down a street, you get to the end of the street. It branches into two. You don't know which way to go. Shall I go left? Shall I go right? There are two men lying there. One's dead, one's alive. Which one would you ask for directions? The reason I'm a Christian is because I like talking to Jesus because he's alive. Yes. Why am I a Christian? Because Christianity is true. Why should you be a Christian? Because Christianity is true. It's true. The church will be running a course called Alpha soon. And if you want to know more evidence and more answers and ask questions, do the course. Second reason, why am I a Christian? Because Jesus Christ died for me. That's the second reason I'm a Christian. Now, before Jesus Christ died on a cross, he spent several years communicating and conveying in different language with different images to all types of people who he was. Watch the screen for a little film clip that tries to sum up some of the things Jesus said.
Jesus! Jesus is the bread of life, so that bakers can understand. Jesus is the water of life, so that plumbers can understand. Jesus is the light of the world, so that electricians can understand. Jesus is the cornerstone, so that architects can understand. Jesus is the Sun of righteousness, so that astronomers can understand. Jesus is the hidden treasure, so that bankers can understand. Jesus is the life, so that biologists can understand. Jesus is the great physician, so that doctors and nurses can understand. Jesus is the good teacher, so that educators can understand. Jesus is the lily of the valley, so that florists can understand. Jesus is the rock of ages, so that geologists can understand. Jesus is the true vine, so that horticulturalists can understand. Jesus is the righteous one, so that judges can understand. Jesus is the pearl of great price, so that jewelers can understand. Jesus is wisdom, so that philosophers can understand. Jesus is the word, so that actors can understand. Jesus is the good shepherd, so that farmers can understand. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, so that scientists can understand. Jesus is the King of Kings, so that royalty can understand. Jesus is the way, so that traffic wardens can understand. Jesus is the truth, so that politicians can understand. Jesus is the resurrection, so that funeral directors can understand. Jesus is the one. Jesus is the one. Jesus is the one. He articulated that in so many different images and so many different pictures. But he came to do something for us. He came to die on a cross. Why? Why? Killy and I, we have three sons. When our firstborn son, Michael, he was about 4 years of age, he and I went to buy his mum a Mother's Day present. And we go into this store. As we walk into the store, right in front of us is a huge sign. And the sign read, "Do not touch. All breakages must be purchased." Why didn't we just walk out? Not just because I had a four-year-old. I know what I'm like. I'm a little bit clumsy. But you know that expression, "Do not touch." Oh, wow. It's magnetic. There is something about it. You can feel rebellion. And I'm embarrassed to say this, but I confess it. Even in the store. I mean, I'm a reverend. I was doing this. Because I wanted to rebel against the statement. I can if I want to. I know, it's appalling. It's appalling. But I saw it out of the corner of my eye. Little Michael, I don't know how he did it, but he knocked this thing over and it was like, no. And it kind of just fell, kind of slow motion. Psh, smashed. The manager came out of nowhere. He stood, he pointed to the sign. Do not touch. All breakages must be purchased. I said, I didn't do it. He did it. He did it. I thought, why didn't I walk out? I'll walk out of the store and I will let him pay the damages. There was no way 4-year-old Michael could pay for the damages. In fact, his pocket money for the whole year would not pay for what he smashed. Only his daddy could pay for the damages. You and I cannot pay for the damages. We cannot pay for the damage that we've done to God, to other people, and to ourselves.
We cannot pay for it. Only our Heavenly Father through Jesus can the damages be paid. You see, it works a bit like an overdraft in a bank account. If you have an overdraft, I have an overdraft. You can't help me, I can't help you. The only one who can help us is someone in credit. Jesus was the only one in credit. Jesus came into this world, to do something for us. This is an authentic replica of a Roman nail. Authentic. This is what was nailed through the wrist of Jesus. It was paid on the nail so that you and I could be offered that check signed with his own blood to clear the overdraft. There was a very famous artist. He went back to the very small rural community where he was born and brought up. And he's just walking around the stores and he sees an antique shop. He looks in the window, cannot believe what he sees. In the window is one of his paintings. It was a painting that he'd painted years before he was famous. The painting was scratched, dirty, and the frame was broken. But it was his. But he couldn't go into the store and say, hey, to the manager, that's my painting, give it back to me. If he wanted it back, he had to buy it back before he could clean it, restore it, and reframe it. That's what Jesus did. Yeah. Jesus died on the cross to buy us back, to clean us, restore us, and reframe us. That's what he did. You know, when I became a Christian on the 9th of February, 1975, I was a student in London. The light came on. My mother said to me, you're brainwashed. I said, Mum, my brain has been washed. If you only knew, Mum, what was in my brain, you'd be pleased it got washed. My mum didn't know what was in my brain. I tell you, it was worth washing. That was an experience of being cleansed. The Archbishop of Milan, he told this story. He said, many years ago, outside the Cathedral of Milan, it's a huge cathedral, Roman Catholic cathedral, there were three teenagers. And one of the three turned to the other two and said, I dare one of you two to go into the cathedral, to go into the confession box and say a load of obscenities to the priest and shock him. So one of the two says, oh, I'll go. So he goes in, goes into the box, the priest, what do you want to confess? And he's just trying to, he tells him a lot of ridiculous stuff. But the priest, he's not shocked at all. He listens. The guy finishes. The priest says, okay, this is what I want you to do. I want you to walk out the cathedral, walk down the steps, turn around, face the cathedral, look up high. There you'll see a crucifix, the figure of Jesus on a cross. And I want you to point to the crucifix and I want you to say, I don't care. He runs out of the cathedral, runs down the steps, meets his two friends, and they're like, yeah, did you shock him? I shocked him. Well, what did he say? Well, he told me to do something. What? He goes, well, I'll do it now. He turns around, faces the cathedral, looks up, he sees the crucifix. He points to the crucifix and he goes, I... pauses at that moment because he knew the story. He knew the story. He knelt on the floor in front of his friends and he starts weeping. I know you did it for me. I know you did it for me. I'm sorry. I want to follow you. He gets up and he says, I'm going to follow you. The Archbishop of Milan, he told this story. He then said this, I know that that story is true because I was the teenager. Many people have discovered the same all over the world. Why should you be a Christian? Because it's true. Why should you be a Christian? Because Jesus died for you. And in dying on the cross, you're being given forgiveness from the past, new life here today, and a hope for the future. Third reason, why should you be a Christian? Because it works. Now, because it works doesn't make it true. It's true. That's why it works. It works. Honestly, my life was transformed when I encountered Jesus as a student back in 1975. I'm still a Christian today because it works in my life. I've experienced his presence. I've experienced his peace. I've experienced his power. And this is what that reading was all about. The Apostle Paul writing and saying, these are the facts. He died, he rose again, I met him, and this is what's happened. I can testify to that. He's guided me, he's provided for me. I've seen him do things in my life, in my wife's life, in our family's life, and I've seen him do things. Killian and I, we've been to 71 countries. I've seen him work in 71 countries. Yeah, I'm going to tell you a couple of stories. Okay, here's just a couple of stories. Okay, one of my favorite stories. There was this missionary in Africa. He went back to his sending church in Scotland to report on the work and to call people to go and help in Africa. And he arrives at the church, and there's a number of people there, but they're all senior citizens. So he was a little discouraged, not because they were there, but they weren't suitable because of their age to go and be missionaries. But he still gives this message about the need in Africa, the need in Africa. And he ends his message with these words, who will go, who will go, who will go? Now, the organist, there was a little boy assisting the organist with the air and the billows. And the boy stood up. He goes, I will go, I will go, I will go. The boy's name, David Livingston. They said to David Livingston, David, if you're believing that God's telling you to go to Africa, it will be best if you become a medical doctor first. So he does. He becomes a medical doctor. He goes to Africa as a medical missionary. He labors for decades. Now, how do we know all these details? It's all written in his diary. We've still got his diaries. It's all there in his diaries. He goes to Africa. After years, he's trying to reach this particular community, and the chief doesn't like it. He sends him a message, and he says to him, we are going to come tonight, and we're going to murder you, and we're going to murder everybody in your compound. David Livingston writes in his diary, Lord, save us. Lord, protect us. Lord, please don't let our work be extinguished this night. They didn't come. They didn't murder them. Years later, the entire community turns to Christ, including the chief. David Livingston says to the chief, you sent me a message that you were going to come and murder us. He said, yes, yes, we came. And he said, well, why did you not murder us? He says, because when we came to your compound, there were 47 warriors surrounding your compound. These warriors were giants. And when, I mean, interesting, keep the, wait a minute, no, it gets better. The story gets better. Okay, wait, when you get to the end, you give it all you've got, right? But this is warming you up, right? Warm me up. Keep the number 47 in your head, 47. They counted them. There's 47 warriors. Okay, years later, David Livingston goes back to Scotland to his sending church to report on the ministry. He tells this story. At the end of the meeting, the secretary of the church comes up and says, Dr. Livingston, do you remember the date that the chief was going to come and murder you? Yes, it was this date. The secretary opens the diary on that date. He said, Dr. Livingston, look, on that day, in this church, there was 47 people praying for you. Praying in a church in Scotland, and there's 47 warriors surrounding the compound in Africa. And you, and some people, you'll tell them this story, and they're like, oh, it's a bit of a coincidence. Is anyone in there? Honestly, I could stand here all day telling you stories like that. I'll give you a different story. Our next door neighbours, not Christians. They call Killy and I, the neighbours from heaven. Not bad. Well, we wouldn't want them to be called the neighbours from the other side, would we? Hey? No, not at all. The lady had a stroke and she fell into a coma. She got transferred from our local hospital to a renowned hospital in Oxford called the John Ratcliffe. The daughter came round, spoke to Killy, and said, we've just met with the consultants, and they've told us that Mum has got no brain activity, she's brain dead. She's on a life support machine, we're going to switch it off in 5 days after the family have all visited. Killy says, well, can we visit your mother? She said, please visit my mother, because she was so fond of you. The only day I could go was the fifth day. We go to Oxford. We go, she's in intensive care. We go into the room. We walk in. I go, hello, Joyce. I said, it's the neighbours from heaven. I said, we've come to pray with you. I mean, I thought, you know, give her the last rites and she can die, you know, or something like that, you know. So I said, we've come to pray. She had tubes everywhere. I took her hand. I held Killy's hand, she held her other hand. I said, Joyce, we're going to pray now the Lord's Prayer, okay? So Killy and I start. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. When we said your kingdom come, she woke up. We went back home. I said to her husband, I said, she woke up. He goes, don't joke about things like this. Because every time we'd meet, we'd have a little joke, a little banter. I said, I would never joke about something like this. I said, but she woke up. He goes, no, she didn't. I said, she did. He goes, no, she didn't. She did. Anyway, 10 days later, she came home. Honestly, I could stand here all day telling you stories like that. Pastor John and Pastor Chantel, they could stand here all day just telling you stories like that. I've just given you a couple. Why am I a Christian? Because it's true. Why am I a Christian? Because Jesus died for me. Why am I a Christian? Because it works. In Jesus, I can have forgiveness from the past, new life today, and a hope for the future. Without Christ, there's a hopeless end. With Christ, there's an endless hope. Great. The group are here. Thank you. Please stand. In just a moment, we're going to sing a hymn, a song that sums up what we've been trying to say today. Communicate today. If you're here in the sanctuary, in the auditorium, and you know you need to begin this journey today, in just a moment, when we start singing, make your way out of the rows, come and stand here at the front. If you've brought a friend, a relative, turn to them in a minute. And just say to them, do you want to go? Do you want me to come with you? If you want somebody to accompany you, just come. Some of you, maybe you used to be followers of Jesus, but maybe you just got distracted, diverted, maybe even derailed. But look, you're here today. You're here. Come back. Come back. You come out here. You come. And some of you, maybe today, you call yourself a Christian, but you need a new beginning. You'll know what that means. And if you feel you need a new beginning today, you come out here to the front. Now, I know what this is like. We're very human. You're probably in the middle of a row and you're thinking, oh no, how am I going to get out of the row? Well, you just move. Honestly, people know where you're going. And if they don't move, you push them. Now, I'm not asking you to come here to embarrass you. Why do I want you to come out here? Jesus died publicly. There was nothing embarrassing about that. There is nothing embarrassing about standing publicly. But I want you, and I know Pastor John and Pastor Chantel, they want you too. We want you to stand publicly because we want you to stand here in front of hundreds of Christians so that tomorrow you can stand up out there. Now, those of you at home, you're tuned in wherever you are online now. If you can, for 2 minutes, maybe pause your cooking, pause whatever else you're doing, and just be focused. Some of you need to do that now, today. So just take 2 minutes, either to say, yes, I'm going to pray, I'm going to come back. And what's going to happen is this. When you've all come out here to the front, all those of you that want to come out to the front, I will pray a prayer. It will be a prayer that will enable you to receive what you've heard this morning. Make it a reality. After you've prayed that prayer, my wife, Killy, will pray for you. And then after Killy has prayed for you, Pastor John will just have a very brief word with you. And then we're going to give you some things. Killy and I, we personally want to give you this cross from Bethlehem. It's olive wood from Bethlehem. We want to give it to you to remember this day. And of course, remember especially Jesus and what he did for you on the cross. A little holding cross. I always carry one in my pocket wherever I go. In your handbag, in your pocket, wherever. A little holding cross. Don't come down here just for the cross. But if you come down here, you'll get a cross. And then the church is going to give you this little book, Making the Easter Connection. And they're going to give you some other resources as well. And they're just going to encourage you on the journey. That is what we're going to do. So, Chantel, let's start. We're going to start singing. Don't wait till the last line of the last verse. Please don't. As we begin singing, come now. Killy. Pastor John, come on up. Close your eyes, those of you here, those of you that are tuned in. If you can close your eyes, close your eyes. But whatever. Take this moment to join in with us. I will pray a prayer. I will pray this prayer phrase by phrase. I'll pray once so you know the words. The second time I pray the prayer out loud. Wherever you are in this beautiful building, if you just love Jesus and reaffirm your faith, join in with us as we pray. You're tuned in at home. Pray the prayer. Here's the prayer. Jesus, I bow before you now. Jesus, I bow before you now. You are my crucified, risen Christ. You are my crucified, risen Christ. I know I have done many things wrong. I know I have done many things wrong. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to forgive me. Cleanse my life. Cleanse my life. Set me free from the past. Set me free from the past. I open the door of my life now. I open the door of my life. Come in by your Holy Spirit. Come in by your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your presence and your power. Fill me with your presence and your power. Fill me with your peace. Fill me with your peace. Help me to build my life on you. Help me to build my life on you. Amen. Killy's going to pray for you.
Lord, I just thank you for all my brothers and sisters that have come forward. Lord, we just pray for each one of them, that you would bless them. Lord, thank you that you know each one of them by name. Lord, you know their needs, you know their heart's desires. Lord, you see them. And Lord, I just thank you that your presence is with them. Lord, thank you that you love them so much that you died for each one of them. And Lord, I just pray that you would bless them. Lord, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would equip them with all the good gifts from above. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Great.
Amen. Thank you, Kelly. Thank you, Jay John. We just want to say congratulations to everyone who said that prayer and received Christ as your Savior today on this Resurrection Sunday. And I know there's probably like so many questions swirling around in your mind right now, but we want you to know that this first step you've taken is a courageous one. It's a life-changing one, and there's no turning back. Today you're saying goodbye to your old life, and today you're walking into a brand new life with Jesus. And this is Matt over here in the corner. He's hiding around the corner there. And the team there are just going to give you a little book called Making the Easter Connection and also your cross. And so we're just going to ask you to go into the chapel, which is right there. And Matt's just going to give you your gifts, and then you're going to come straight back in, give you some more information about the next steps from here. And so we're going to ask you to begin just to head that way, my left, your right. And as they do, church, would you give them a huge, huge, huge well done? Come on, we can keep cheering. Do you remember the last 7 years when we sacrificed with half of the house, year in, year out? Do you remember when we gave till it hurt? Do you remember when we thought, will this ever happen? Well, it is happening, and that room's not big enough. This room's not big enough. You can't contain what God is doing. And God is rewarding sacrifice today. As we gave and we believed for the day where we'd see Chantal, countless souls coming into the kingdom. We're not in New York, we're in Norwich. The new New York. What God is doing is supernatural, and it's just mind-boggling. Come on, let's sing that out one more time. I believe. Do you believe?
I believe in God our Father.
The gospel still works. The gospel still transforms people's lives. Canon J. John, what can we say? Come on, would you thank him? What an amazing presentation of the gospel today. Thank you for being obedient. He was telling me last night that this Easter slot came available, and God said to him, you need to go to Soul Church. And now we know why God said that. I pray God keeps saying that. Absolutely incredible. And I want to encourage you to do a couple of things. First of all, share that message on YouTube. Share it on Facebook. That message has gone out. You know, maybe you couldn't get people in the room, but maybe people are skeptical around Christianity and faith. Just share it. What have you got to lose? Wouldn't it be amazing if that got shared 1,000 times in the next few days? How many people would hear the gospel So it's not just happened today. It's going to be shared for the next days, weeks, and months to come. So we're going to get the gospel out through today. And if you're watching online and you made a decision, please let someone know in the chat. And our team are there. They want to follow up, and we'll make sure that we help and support you. And in 2 weeks' time, we're starting the Alpha course. I got a feeling it's going to be a busy one. And so as you leave today, we're going to give you an invitation to Alpha. Now, that's not necessarily for you to go to Alpha. If you've never done Alpha, please go. Alpha is like an introductory 6 weeks course into Christianity. But if you, it's not just for you. It's for people in your world. You think, man, you've got questions around what is faith? Who is God? Who is Jesus? This is a great opportunity for you to invite people. So please take that little invitation, invite someone into your world. And I just know that, yeah, very soon your friend could be standing in the chapel receiving Jesus just for one simple invitation. Let's never waste these opportunities at Easter, Christmas, these golden opportunities to make Christ available to people. Amen. Amen.
Thanks again for tuning in. If you said yes to Jesus today by saying the salvation prayer, we'd love for you to email connections@soulchurch.com so we can talk to you a little bit more about this incredible decision you've just made. And if at any point in the service you felt moved to give towards any of our local or global initiatives, head to soulchurch.com. And don't forget to stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching @soulchurchuk. Take care and God bless.